Hi, everyone. I'm Maya Fleming, and you're listening to Gentler, a podcast about postgrad life, adulthood, and self-care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gentler. I am so happy to have you here. We have a new Gentler Chat episode today, and I am speaking with Annette Cashel, who is a movement coach. I record the Gentler Chat episodes weeks and sometimes months in advance, so sometimes I re-listen to them and I'm just kind of amazed again, and I feel like this is one of those interviews because there are so many gems and just little things that she dropped that I hadn't thought about, like the difference between exercise and movement and why exercise isn't enough to take care of your body. And as someone who doesn't exercise enough, that was definitely a bomb for me to hear. She also drops little tips like what types of movements you should do throughout the day and tells an amazing story of how movement saved her life. So if any of that interests you, then definitely keep listening. Share this episode with someone who might enjoy it and be sure to rate and review it in Apple Podcasts. I'll talk to you all again soon, and you can find Annette's information in the show notes. She actually has two freebies she wants to share with all of you. So one is a free resource on how to sit less. So you'll get this automatically when you sign up for her newsletter. And she also has a free 45-minute webinar, Take the Pain Out of Working from Home. So if any of those ring anything for you, pique your interest a little bit, then I would definitely suggest you run over to grab them. I love freebies. But with all that being said, we can go ahead and get into the episode, and I will talk to you all again later. Bye. Hi, Annette. How are you today?
I'm great, thanks, Maya. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this conversation. We talked beforehand, before we recorded the episode, and I was just really kind of fascinated by a lot of things that you were talking about, because I know I'm someone who could stand to move a lot more. And so I'm ready for this. I love bringing people on that I can ask a million questions of. I feel like the interviews are much more organic and genuine because I am just so fascinated by what you do. But before we get started, I have to ask, I ask everyone, what kind of self-care have you been doing lately?
Great question. Okay, so lately I take as kind of the last year of COVID because things have changed so much. Mm-hmm. So I've consciously spent more time outside, definitely. Mm-hmm. So I've tried to get outside in daylight hours, even a little bit during the week, but at weekends I try to really be outside for a long time. So I do longer hikes and in nature, and I definitely feel that's helped me. It's really helped me stay grounded. Yeah, I always feel better after. Even if the weather is bad, I always feel better.
Yeah, I never was a walk person until I got a dog. And then I was like, this is kind of nice out here. It's kind of wild. And I'm from like a very rural area. So I would play outside as a kid, but as an adult, I never really got into it. And I felt like I was missing out on so much. So I'm happy to have rediscovered that. And my next hope is just get into gardening, but I need like a space and area for that to happen. But I would love to do that. So can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Annette Cashel. I'm a movement coach. I help people add movement into their daily life. So not exercise. And people kind of get confused between the two. So movement, well, let me explain exercise first. Normally exercise is something that you wear particular clothes, you know, particular shoes. You might drive somewhere to do it. You might have equipment. And you, in your mind, you have a certain amount of time dedicated to it. And normally when you finish it, you kind of tick it off your list. You know, I've done my exercise for the day so I can lounge around the rest of the day. That's kind of what's going on in your head normally. Whereas movement is everything that could happen during the day that doesn't involve convenience. So it could be you just taking the stairs instead of the elevator, you know, walking to do your groceries instead of driving all the way. It could be sitting on the floor to do your laundry rather than sitting at a table. It could be squatting to feed your dog rather than just, you know, bending from your back. So there's lots of little ways, but they're kind of things we avoid doing precisely because we know it's going to take effort.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about how, like, the squatting thing for feeding your dog and all that stuff is a small tweak that is a lot different. And most of the time I will completely, like, if I'm cuddling someone, I'll completely plop down rather than squatting. That's so good. Wow, I'm already starting to like think a whole bunch. So
just touching on the squatting idea, people will go to the gym to squat, you know, they would go to the gym to do their 100 squats or something, but they'll avoid every squat in the rest of the day. So, I mean, go to the gym if you like it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but don't avoid the squats the rest of the time.
Yeah. And that's a good way, because I even sometimes I would try to like implement things like, okay, while I brush my teeth, I'll do it in the squat, or I'll do something like that. And there's so many ways that I would naturally squat without having to make a whole to-do of it, like feeding my dog or like anything else. And I just kind of avoid it. I could squat whenever I clean my floors rather than getting on my knees. And just like, there's so many ways that I could implement it without going out of my way and feeling like I'm doing a whole extra thing. So that's like a really,
you don't have to change your clothes, or
yeah,
if you're emptying the washing machine, get into a squat rather than bending from your back. And going on your hands and knees is great. If you're cleaning the floor with your hands and knees, that's fantastic too. That's another really important move.
Okay, good to know. Wow, I feel like I'm doing something right. Okay, so were you always a huge advocate for movement, or was it something that you came into because of an event or anything like that? Could you speak a little bit to your experience with that?
Sure. So I used to have a proper job. That's what I always say. I used to be a marketing manager. I sat at a desk. I loved my job. I loved it, but my body didn't. And it started kind of falling apart in my mid-20s. I ended up having a lot of health issues, nothing life-threatening, but kind of quality of life issues, and certainly mentally challenging. So wrist issues, knee issues. I ended up quitting my job and became a Pilates teacher because that's the only exercise that I could do. And I loved it, absolutely loved it. But my health issues continued to the point where I needed a neck fusion operation. So that really scared me. And I couldn't understand why my body wasn't thriving if I was a Pilates teacher. So I researched it and researched it. And I realized, even though I thought I was active, I actually wasn't that active. I was what they call an active couch potato. So that's somebody who maybe exercises every day, but for the rest of the time that they're not exercising, they're basically sitting. And that's what I was. And many of us are. Many of us are that. And that's what got me into movement. And I avoided the neck operation. And I also reversed bone loss in my spine and my hips since then. So it's definitely helped me, and it's helped a lot of my clients to add a bit of movement into their day. And it's because it's every day, and because it's so frequent, it really makes a difference, because it's sprinkled throughout your day. It's not just, you know, 1 hour of intense movement. It's literally every hour you could be doing a few small things. Yeah,
I love that. One, because it relates a lot to the way that I have talked about self-care, rather than looking at it as like, said like a chunk of your day, how can we infuse it into everything that you do and make it more of a way of life? So I really like that. And two, I think we have this idea of, you know, it's really interesting to, and you reminded me that we talked about that beforehand. I remember being shocked for the first time I heard it, but exercising, and you probably were someone that people would have considered to be very active. You're a fitness instructor in a way. So for you to still continue to have body issues and discomfort and all of that, like, it says a lot that there's something missing in between just like the gym time and elsewhere. And I haven't even crossed step one yet of like a consistent fitness practice and going to the gym regularly, but I know that the days that I do, I treat it like something I check off my to-do list. I'm like, oh, okay, cool, went to the gym, now I can make a sweet tea with like 3 cups of sugar and just sit down for the rest of the night and play Animal Crossing. Yeah. So I really like that approach of kind of sprinkling it all throughout the day. So how did your time with that begin? Did you just kind of think to yourself, like, maybe if I tried this instead, or was there a teacher or a program or something?
That's a really good question. There was a teacher. Her name is Katie Bowman. She's quite well known in the natural movement world. So I trained with her. And her approach is very much lifestyle. So it's changing your lifestyle to support your movement. So it could be very practical things like sitting on the floor, you know, rather than sitting in a chair. And basically that's really how I got into it. I realized every time I sat on the floor, I had no neck pain. And every time I sat on the couch and slouched and watched a movie, I would get a really bad pain. I mean, really bad. So I stopped watching movies, which I hated. I wanted to watch movies. Yeah, so I realized if I sat on the floor, I didn't have any neck pain. So that really motivated me to try and minimize my use of furniture, which sounds crazy. There is furniture in my house. my family uses it. I have tables and stuff. But I do avoid sitting on the chair if I don't have to. Like, I'm sitting on the floor now. Yeah. And it's a lot of work to get down to the floor and work to get up. So you're moving your body that way. And you also, you don't lose the ability to get to the floor and get back up. And quite often people in their 50s already in the modern first world countries avoid getting down because their knees hurt or their hips hurt. But then you get into a vicious cycle of, well, then you're losing the ability
to
get down and up.
I was just about to ask, I'm a floor sitter and I had a friend over at my apartment the other day and she was on the couch and I put my things on the floor and she was like, do you want to sit on the couch? Should I make room? I was like, no, I love sitting on the floor. Like, I much prefer to sit here, and I never thought anything of it. I feel like I can spread out a little bit more, and I didn't really know that there was a benefit to it. But is there, so I was going to ask if you could speak to a little bit more what the benefit is in sitting on the floor versus the couch. And you did a little bit about like sitting up and all of that, but is there anything else that people might not know about with that tweak or any others that are similar?
Sure. So when you sit on a couch, you tend to sit in one position and that's your favorite position. So you might always lean to the right or always lean to the left. So sorry, that's probably the biggest problem with sitting on a couch is that you tend to get into a certain shape. Whereas when you're on the floor, you'll move around way more because you'll get uncomfortable here and then you'll move here and then you might roll on your knees and then that gets tiring. So you're constantly moving, which is the real benefit of sitting on the floor, is that you're constantly moving. Also, you got down to the floor and you got back up.
Yeah.
That takes way more energy than just flopping onto a couch. So you're maintaining that. And every time you move like that, you kind of give a little impetus to your body to work better, that all the parts connect. So it'll help your neck, it'll help your pelvic floor, it'll help your, if you want to build muscle, it's kind of all interconnected because you're not just one thing, you know.
Yeah.
So the more you've moved your body, everything benefits. That's probably the main benefits really to sitting on the floor. And I think it also grounds you. I think on a mental level, people might feel a bit safer on the floor.
I think that's why I like to do it. Like, it feels, I don't know, I can't really put it into words, but I've always been like that. And hearing you say things like you move around, I'm constantly shifting whenever I'm on the floor. I go from sitting on my bottom, like crisscross applesauce, to going on my knees, or maybe sitting off to the side, kind of like it's a constant flow of movement. And that's really interesting. I never thought about it. So what would you say, like when you see with your clients or anything, what do you think stops people from moving throughout the day typically?
So many reasons.
Yeah.
So many reasons. One, I think people think, it'll reduce my performance. You know, so I have this amount of work to do, and if I moved every 20 minutes, my performance would suffer. So there's lots of studies to prove that's not the case. In fact, if you move more often, it's like a little, it helps your brain fog, it helps oxygen flow, it actually helps your concentration. But people have been trained probably through school to kind of, when you sit still for 2 hours and just get it done, versus adding in the little breaks will actually help you get the work done faster, probably, if you took the breaks. So that's probably the number one thing. Then people think it's going to take a lot of time, which it doesn't. I mean, just standing up is already movement. So you don't have to do jumping jacks or head to the gym. You just have to literally stand up and get a glass of water or look out the window. And then I think people think it doesn't make a difference, really. I think people think you have to sweat and it has to be a lot of hard work and no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
And the fitness industry has spent a lot of time, you know, promoting that message. Whereas all the studies show that even low intensity movement really makes a difference to your health. And even people who are training for marathons, if they're not moving the rest of the day, they still have the increased risk of other people who never move. So that's really shocking to realize that separate risk. And I think a good analogy is, if you think about, say you sit at your desk all day, but you go to the gym every night and you religiously go every night and you really give it your all, that's fantastic. But if you sit the rest of the day, it's a bit like having a really healthy salad for dinner, but having junk food the rest of the day. So the healthy salad is really good for you, but the junk food adds up. It's still an input into your body and you can't undo that by having a healthy salad. So if you can do a little bit of movement through the day, you're sprinkling salad through your day and then your body will thrive.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's a really good analogy. So just for some clarity for the people listening, are you saying that we should replace going to the gym or time cut out with for exercise with like gradual movements throughout the day?
Okay, it depends.
Okay.
Okay. If you love exercise, keep doing it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It brings you joy. You will love it. Keep doing it. You still need to add movement.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to the gym every day for an hour, you still need to add movement every, ideally every 20 minutes, but let's say every hour you do something throughout the rest of the okay. day. If you hate exercise and you're never ever going to exercise, you still have to add movement through the rest of your day. So either way, you can't avoid it. I mean, if you yeah. think about hunter-gatherers, they don't exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're super fit, but they never exercise. They just go through their day doing their chores in a physical way. It doesn't mean that they don't rest either. There's this false impression that you have to move constantly. You know, it's really important to rest. And the hunter-gatherer tribes, you know, take their rest seriously. They will sit for hours, but they'll also get their work done through the rest of the day by moving.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it just is making me like laugh in my head a little bit about all the parallels. I just did an interview yesterday with another podcast and we talked about a similar concept of this whole idea of self-care Sunday. And I said, if you want to set aside Sundays for self-care, that's fine, but you also need to be doing it every day. Like there needs to be something and you can do more self-care on Sundays, but you shouldn't negate to do it throughout the week because you're doing it on right. Sunday. So I'm hearing something yeah. similar. Like if you go to the gym, that's great. You can continue going to the gym, but don't let that stop you from moving throughout the day. And if you're not going to the gym, you definitely still need to move throughout the day.
Yeah,
there's no excuse.
If you go to the gym and you sit on a bike, if that's your exercise, cycling, which can be really high intensity, that might not be the best exercise for you if you sit the rest of the day. Because you're sitting again, you know. Whereas if you're standing all day, you're a cashier or something, then maybe cycling is not so bad for you. But, you know, think about how you move as well. Try to vary it a bit. If you're always doing the same routine, your body gets used to that. So, you know, it's more nuanced than just one or the other. But I think yeah. it's important to have fun in what you do. I definitely think find something you really enjoy. And actually, that's another self-care tip that I've brought in for me in the past years. I started attending Zumba classes online.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such fun. It was like, I need fun in my life again, because it's just can be so depressing this year.
Yeah.
It's just an hour of dancing. It's like going to the disco and it's just such fun. And I think find something you like. It doesn't have to be the gym.
Yeah. And I love that she's brought that up because it's been an idea that I've had for a while, but recently, like I do my own courses and coaching programs to keep my mind fresh. And that's something that people emphasize a lot is just having fun, whether you're in business or working on food and fitness goals or financial things. When you can implement some fun and that's true fun and not you avoiding or trying to escape, then you've pretty much got your ducks in a row because you're acting from a place of gratitude and you just being happy to be there and be happy to do the activity. And it's a good way, because I think gratitude kind of marks people in different ways and makes them, like we all have our different ideas of it, but the idea of fun kind of helps you hone in on what that really is. So I think that's a great thing to think about.
And I think also you realize what your body can do, you know, it's not punishment. Like, you know, you go to the gym to punish yourself for the fact that you had a donut yesterday. You know, it's just the joy of, wow, I can do this. And even if I can't do the routine correctly, who cares? We're just having fun. We're enjoying the music. We're enjoying the community, you know, yeah. And they're much more likely to go back and do it again or go for a walk because you love listening to a podcast or a funny podcast or something. You know, it's,
yeah.
Enjoy those moments.
Yeah. And I love thinking about it in that way instead of, because that's like a mindset block I've been trying to work through, is thinking of exercise as a punishment. Because I've never really, all the favorite things I did to keep in shape growing up were things that were fun, gymnastics or dance. And so the whole idea of like, I have to exercise, it's my duty to exercise, like, you know, I ate badly. I've never been able to get around that. But thinking of ways I can take care of my body and treat it for keeping me along and helping me survive a pandemic and all that stuff. Like, I love being able to, and how you were talking before about being able to get up and sit down, that made me think of a story of like I said, I've always been a floor sitter. So whenever I had family over once, I was sitting on the floor and got up for something. And one of my aunts said, look at her. She can just get up so easily. Like, I remember when I could do that. And I thought to myself, I never really want to lose that ability. Like, what can I do to make sure that this... So just thinking of ways that I can take care of my body in return, and whether that's making sure that I can retain as much movement as possible or feel better about the things that I'm eating without thinking I need to approach it in a punishment kind of way. Because if I like McDonald's, I'm going to eat it. And that's just just part of the equation that is Maya. So I think I like that. And it sounds like a gratitude approach of just thinking, okay, this is not a punishment. My body is a gift that has given me so many gifts in return. So how can I repay it?
Exactly. And I think if you do it that way, it's sustainable. Yeah. It's sustainable because you like it, and you're going to have bad days, but that's fine. You're going to have days where you don't have 100%, and that's absolutely fine. You know, don't beat yourself up. It's totally normal to have days where you want to hibernate and not leave the door. You know, that's fine.
Yeah. So for people who they're sitting at the desk all day, they maybe will get up at the end of the day to go sit down again and have a meal. Then they sit down and watch TV, and then they go to bed and they're laying down. So are there any starter movements, I guess, that you could encourage them to implement throughout the day that might not seem so overwhelming, just things that they can think of, okay, when I do this, I need to implement this movement?
Sure. Well, there's three things, I guess. One is to sit less. So that just means stand more. And that doesn't mean standing all day. You know, there's this misconception that you have a standing desk, you have to stand all day. That's not about it at all. People are doing a lot of Zoom calls now. So if you're doing a Zoom call, maybe stand for the first 5 minutes. Mm. Just start with that. Just start with that. You're going to get tired and then you'll sit down. But if you start standing, then you've done your 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And eventually you'll stand a little bit longer and it'll become more natural. You might even really enjoy it because you're probably not writing anything when you're on a Zoom call. You're not typing. So it's a really good chance to stand for a little portion of the time. And it'll really add up then over the course of the day. If you do 3 or 4 Zoom calls, maybe you stood for an hour in total, you know? So that's a really easy way to do that. Then the second thing is sit differently. So like sitting on the floor would be a different way of sitting. And even if you do sit on the floor, notice if you always go to the same comfortable side, maybe try the other side. You don't have to sit on the floor. You can sit on a pillow or a yoga bolster. So if you're not ready to sit flat on the floor, that's fine. Use whatever cushioning you need, you know, to get to a point where it's bearable. It shouldn't be painful. And then I would say sit better. So what I mean by sit better is when you're sitting on your office chair or your kitchen table chair, normally you'll notice the chair slopes backwards. And maybe I'll include a link to this so people can get it visually. But the seat of the chair usually slopes down. And the reason it slopes down is to help you stack chairs, like 10, 20 chairs without them falling.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why they're designed like that. But what it means is when you sit on it, you naturally slouch because you're just being backwards. So you can buy chair wedges to put on your chair. I don't sell them, but you can buy them on Amazon and various other places. Or you can get a bath towel and you just roll it up really tight and you put it about 3/4 of the way back on your chair, so that when you sit on your chair, it doesn't slope backwards anymore. It's going to be even or even upward sloping. And that's a huge difference. It's like somebody literally holding you.
Yeah.
And you'll be neutral naturally. And it's actually very hard to slouch when you've got that little bit of support. And it'll make a huge difference for your neck and your pelvic floor and your lower back and everything else. And you'll feel really good doing it. It doesn't cost you anything. So I would experiment with that. And I'll include a picture of it so people know what I'm talking about. But that's an instant change. And once you start the wedges, you'll probably put them on every chair you have because people really like them.
That's interesting because I recently bought this chair and other ones because I've been trying to, you know, build up my office and furnish my apartment. And I was wondering, I was sitting down, I think I was just bored one day, and I'm like, how am I supposed to be sitting on this? Like, am I supposed to have my back to the back of the chair? Am I supposed to be sitting up on the front of the chair? Like, how am I meant to sit on this chair in the most comfortable way? I think maybe like other people never thought about it. I was just like chasing a random thought process. I was like, how are we supposed to sit down in chairs?
I mean, we sit a lot of the time. No, we sit probably 8 hours a day, most of us, if we're working at the computer. So the backrest, I always think, if you think about the backrest, it it does what it says on the tin. So when you rest on it, your back rests. So your core muscles rest too. So it's meant to rest, an occasional rest.
Yeah.
Not 8 hours, you know, not 8 hours. So even just not using the backrest is going to work for much more. If you use a yoga ball, it's the same idea. There's no backrest.
Right. Okay.
You have to sit a little bit taller. But again, I wouldn't do that all day either. You're going to be really tired very quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's mixing it up. Have a yoga ball, have an office chair, sit on the floor, maybe even do some computer work on the floor if you can. You know, if you were out in the woods, living in the woods, you wouldn't be sitting 8 hours straight in that position. Nature would force you to move.
Yeah. I used to love, when I was in college, my favorite study spaces were the ones that had different setups. So there was one building I used to study in all the time that had chairs and tables for me to sit down, but they also had along the back wall, like the standing desk area. So when I felt like, okay, this reading is really dense, I need to really like pick up the pace a little bit, I could get up and go stand. Or if I wanted to, even I could book a room and sit on the floor, and I would see kids who have been in the rooms all day, and they'd be on the floors and their books would be all up on the tables. So I think just being able to change things up, because you're right, you do get tired. I worked with someone who only had like the stools with no back support. So all day long, I was like, I can't do this anymore. My back is literally going to give out. But having the options and utilizing our entire spaces, because maybe we have a kitchen island that we could work and stand on, or the couch to give more support if we needed to, or the floor. The floor is abundant, so we can sit there, and then a desk. And I think for people working from home who are kind of having a stale experience working remotely, just switching up the location a little bit for different types of, I don't know, work or study could help a lot.
Definitely. And I mean, if you think about it, even if you have perfect posture and you sit in perfect posture all day, that's not great, because it's one shape again. So the idea is to move, you know, as much as you can. Usually your body will tell you, because you start getting sore or tired. Another nice one is to lie on your tummy on the floor, on your elbows when you're reading something. Because it's the opposite of slouching. It's actually an antidote to that. Mm. But again, you want to see what that feels like. It's like the way children naturally read a book. If you give a child a book, they'll usually go straight on the floor, on their tummy, on their elbows, and they're flipping through the book.
That's so interesting.
So if you can do that for a little periods of time, see what it feels like for your neck and shoulders, but that will mix up things as well for you.
Yeah. That's so interesting, because you're right. Like, I remember anytime I was handed a book, or anytime I've given my siblings a book, we just immediately go on like the belly and just will start reading it. And it makes me think of when I was in kindergarten. I don't know if they still do it, but we had like quiet time and nap time. And if we didn't want to go to sleep, we could grab a book, but we'd still be lying down like everyone else. So that so many things that you're saying, I'm like, you know what? I never thought about that, but you're exactly right. So thinking of that, when it comes to things like sleep, that I'm personally not very intentional about the way that I sleep necessarily. Like I invested a little bit more into my sleep setup to be more comfortable with my mattress and everything. But once my eyes close, I have no clue what my body does throughout the night. And I know I always wake up differently than I went to sleep. So I'm sure I'm doing a lot of movement. But is there anything that we can do to implement more sustainable movement while we're sleeping, since we do spend so much time doing that?
I would say the number one thing is probably your pillow. So if your pillow is really high over time, it will be great if you could head towards lower and lower pillow.
But
over time, like, it might take you 18 months to get from this really kind of high, comfy, soft cushions to lower to maybe not needing a pillow. But you have to gauge that with your body. So you shouldn't be sore when you wake up. But even taking, you know, half an inch off, half an inch off, half over time, you'll start bring your neck muscles back to alignment. That would be
okay. I was gonna ask what the benefit was, but that makes a lot of sense.
And that just helps your whole posture, that your head isn't forward, because our heads tend to be forward anyway, from you know, computer work, our head would be forward. So over time you're bringing it back. But if you have a big pillow, it's the same as having your head forward.
Yeah.
You're pushing you forward. So over time, you could kind of reduce the amount of support you have in your pillow. There are people who also over time make the mattress harder, you know, or get a harder mattress. And the advantage of that, I suppose, is that it forces you to move way more in your sleep because you will be uncomfortable.
Yeah, that is so true.
Yeah,
and I think that we've been taught so much to think that movement is discomfort, when really, like, a lot of times it is making us better. It's not necessarily a negative thing to move. No. And I know I've been woken up out of my sleep for being uncomfortable, and I'm glad that I was able to wake up and move, because I was able to get out of a position that wasn't good for me anymore. And I never have thought about it in that way.
Yeah, it's a bit like, I always think it's like a computer, you know, when it goes into snooze mode, everything stops working, kind of going to sleep. So if you move every 20 minutes, it's kind of like a beep, you know, you've touched the computer and it's like, oh, things are alive again. And, you know, your metabolism starts working, your bone building starts working, your lymphatic system, you know, everything's kind of giving you a boost during the day. Now, when you're asleep, obviously, you're not going to be aware of this, but little movement through the day is a little impetus for your body saying, you need all this stuff. You need to keep functioning, I guess, is the best way.
Yeah. And that sounds like a good marker of, like, once I notice my computer has gone to sleep, because normally I will go into my settings and make my computer never go to sleep so that I never have to worry about kind of shaking the mouse or anything like that. And it sounds like maybe it'd be good to turn that back on so it can give, like, a good time marker for me. I used to, in college, I would say, like, okay, I'm packing my bag to the library. What do I need? And some days I would leave my power cord at home because I thought, you know, I live close to the library. That'll give me an excuse to get up and walk home, grab my power cord and move throughout the day. And if I keep everything kind of within reach, I'll never have to move. And that's not good. So I normally, my whole MO is making things easier for yourself, but it sounds like it might be worth making things a little bit more challenging so that you do have to get up and move and do all of that. So I think that's a great form of self-care, is kind of challenging yourself in small ways. That are good. I have this huge water bottle here, and the purpose was so that I would never have to get up and go fill my water. But some days I do like having the glass, like I have, because it helps me walk back and forth from the kitchen and fill it up. So I think that's a really good thing to think about. Are there any techniques that someone might employ if they're just getting started with this? Or they're just not used to it, or they forget to move every 20 minutes or every hour?
Well, obviously set an alarm on your phone. That's, you know, do that. Mm-hmm. Put the phone in the other side of the room, or in the other room, not beside you, you know. What I do is I unplug my laptop and I bring it over to my standing area so that when it starts to die, I have to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's something I've started recently that works really well, because you're going to die. What else? Your natural, like when you finish a project, if you do something as a cue, like when you finish, I don't know, working on an email or something, is that your cue to just stand up?
Okay.
Even looking out the window is a natural movement break, because your eyes are not looking at 12 inches anymore. They have to look, you know, across the street. Yeah. A movement break. What else? I'll also look at household chores as movement opportunities. So if you hear the washing machine is just finished in the room next door, brilliant, stand up and take it out.
I'm always the one who waits until, like, oh, those clothes can sit, that's fine, but that get up and actually go. And I think too, with myself, and I read on social media other people experiencing this too, we have these feelings that we need to use the bathroom, and we say, oh, I'll wait until this project's done, or I'll wait until I finish this thing. And I'm trying recently to just, and it seems so small, but I don't know why I wasn't doing it, but when I feel like to use the bathroom, just get up and go immediately. And that's a good way to move and not place your work in front of your own bodily comfort.
Yeah, or also the idea of, well, I'll work for 8 hours and then I'll do all my household chores. Mm-hmm. If you sprinkle your household chores through your day, you would get movement and you get the chores done, and it's really good for your brain. So it's just a different way. See chores as a movement opportunity. Or I have cats, you know, so when the cats want to go out, instead of going, oh my God, they're driving me nuts. No, it's an opportunity to go out and open the door. Another week break in.
I love that, because it's all like, it sounds like so many great ways to practice gratitude and just think of the things that we normally frown at as opportunities and kind of romanticize them a little bit and say, you know, I hate laundry. I really do. Last night I had all of my dirty clothes on my bed to fold, and I just wanted to bury myself in a hole. But hearing that it is an opportunity to move, it's an opportunity to not only wash my clothes and give myself more choices in the morning, because it sucks when you have nothing clean. You're like, the same sweatpants again, I'm going to wear. But to be able to move and to be able to practice the action of lifting clothes from the washer and putting them up into the dryer and then vice versa, whatever that thing is, like seeing it as opportunities rather than things I grumble at, whether it's like, oh, I have to go downstairs and get a package. Like, oh, I wish they could bring it to my door. Like, no, that's an opportunity for you to go downstairs, get some fresh air, see some new faces. And I think especially working from home, because I could really go days without seeing another person. And I think seeing those times as opportunities rather than just challenges that kind of are obstacles throughout the day is a great way to get some movement in, to practice some gratitude and just feel better in general. So thank you so much for bringing that to everyone's attention. So Annette, where can people find you online and how can they work with you?
So best place to see me is probably on Instagram. I'm Movement Makeovers on Instagram. I'm on Facebook too, but I'm more active on Instagram. And I like Instagram because there's lots of photos. And I think people really get the message when they see people sitting on the floor or not wearing shoes or having a squatty potty. When they see it in somebody's house, they go, oh, I get it now. It's really effective, I think, as a medium. If they're interested in kind of making contact with me, they can sign up for my newsletter. And I have a freebie there, which is how to sit less. So it's a resource to kind of start you on your journey of moving more. And the number one place to start is to start sitting less. And there's a calculator there to really make you realize exactly how many hours you're sitting. Because you might be underestimating again. I know I was. So that's all in there. If you sign up the newsletter, you get that. And if people are working from home, I have a free webinar. It's called How to Take the Pain Out of Working from Home. And there's lots of tips like we talked about today with visuals as to how I've made my home movement friendly so that working from home is less damaging on my body. You know, sitting is less damaging. So it's totally doable. Most of my tips are free or almost free. Like, I'm not into buying standing desks. There's usually a way around it. If you have a standing desk, fantastic. But there's usually a cheaper version available to most people to get more movement into their day.
Yeah, I love that. So I will definitely have all of that in the show notes. I'm going to go get the freebie after this episode because I could use that. I also want to add, I am 100% advocate for squatty potties. You mentioned that and made me think about it. Like, I think they are so awesome and so helpful. And I can't imagine, like, sometimes I use my stool to breathe something in the kitchen and I forget to bring it back to the bathroom and I immediately remember, oh my god, like I need my stool back here. So thank you so much, Annette. This has been an awesome conversation. I can't wait for everyone to hear it. I'll have all your information in the show notes as well. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Maya. I really appreciate you inviting me, and it was great talking to you. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gentler. If you enjoyed it, please give it a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram for more self-care advice at GentlerPod, and check out our website for more info, www.begentler.com. Talk to you all soon. Bye.